Right now, I mean, the most dangerous asset in your institutional portfolio is, ironically, the one you probably think is the safest.
Yeah, it's a completely counterintuitive reality, but in this current economic climate, comfort is incredibly expensive. And honestly, it is usually the very first thing to default when the macroeconomic tide finally goes out.
Well, welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are entirely bypassing that surface-level market chatter. We're delivering an exclusive audio briefing, really analyzing a specialized intelligence dispatch titled Finding ROI in Real Estate Friction.
Right.
And this field report, it comes directly from Priyanshu or Priyata Thakur. For those who don't know, he's a premier commercial real estate and hotel investment advisor and also a fellow realtor.
Yeah, and the central enigma that Priya is putting directly in front of institutional capital right now is, well, it's exactly that dangerous illusion of the safe bet. I mean, if you picture a high-end networking mixer in 2026.
The ones where everyone agrees with each other.
Good.
Exactly. The room is just packed with capital allocators, private developers, portfolio managers, and they're all just nodding in unison about migrating their capital into, say, Class A suburban office space or.
Or fully stabilized triple net retail.
Right, because it feels secure.
It feels like consensus.
Yeah.
But as Pri points out in this week's perspective, if the deal looks easy, you're probably just paying for someone else's exit strategy.
Totally.
I mean, when the herd crowds a trade,
Yeah.
cap rates compress, and they compress to the point where there's just absolutely no margin for error left in the math.
There's no meat left on the bone at all, which really brings us to the core mission of this briefing. How does a developer or, an institutional owner actually find true return on investment, actual yield?
Right, in a highly volatile market.
Exactly. We need to deconstruct Pri's concept of ghost markets. These are these highly specialized, totally overlooked areas where massive hidden value actually sits. We are going to look at the data that basically proves alpha isn't broadcast in the headlines. It's hidden in the narratives that the broader market has actively tried to forget.
Okay, so let's start by looking at the mechanics of that trap, because we really have to understand the flawed math of the herd mentality before we can, look at the alternative.
For sure.
You mentioned cap rate compression. Break down exactly how that destroys yield for an institutional buyer who thinks, hey, I'm just playing it safe here.
Well, it fundamentally comes down to the pricing of comfort,
Yeah.
right? And the reality of the cost of capital. Capital just naturally flows toward the path of least resistance.
Always.
So a fully leased retail center with a national credit tenant, it looks absolutely pristine on a spreadsheet. There's no leasing risk, there's zero construction risk.
Just collect the checks.
Right. But because everyone wants that lack of friction, the bidding wars just drive the purchase price up to the sky.
And as the purchase price goes up, the capitalization rate, which, is your expected rate of return on the property's income, that cap rate just goes down.
Precisely. So let's say the herd drives that cap rate down to 4.5%. But here we are in 2026, and your cost of capital, the actual interest rate on your commercial debt, might be sitting at 5.5%.
Ouch.
Yeah. You are stepping into negative leverage from day one. Your debt service coverage ratio, your DSCR is just razor thin.
But let me push back on that standard institutional mindset, though,
Yeah.
because capital allocators aren't naive, right?
No, they aren't.
They accept that lower yield because they are buying structural certainty. They are buying the stellar credit of that national tenant. The narrative they tell their board is that they are insulating themselves from economic shocks.
But are they really? I mean, that is the illusion Prius is talking about. You are paying a massive premium purely for the lack of immediate friction, which means you are buying an asset that is priced to absolute perfection.
And macroeconomic realities are never perfect.
Never. If your yield requires the next 5 years to be economically flawless, you haven't made an investment. You have placed a highly correlated, highly fragile bet. I mean, what happens to that perfect spreadsheet if the local demographic narrative shifts even a little bit? What happens if that national anchor tenant just decides to optimize their footprint and goes dark?
Yeah, if you bought in at a heavily compressed cap rate, you have absolutely no cushion.
No.
It's like, well, it's like buying incredibly expensive insurance on a building that has a faulty foundation.
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
You feel secure because the paperwork is clean,
Yeah.
you hold the policy, but the structural risk is already baked right into your upfront cost. If the wind blows even slightly off model, the entire capital stack is just at risk.
That is the perfect framing for the mathematics of risk here. True risk mitigation is not about finding a clean, easy story. It is about avoiding assets where the math offers absolutely no margin of safety for operational realities.
Okay, so if the polished turnkey properties offer this false sense of security and literally zero margin of safety, where does the capital actually go?
It has to pivot.
Right, it has to pivot. And according to this dispatch, it has to look away from those gleaming brochures and stare directly at the properties that look fundamentally dead on paper.
Which brings us to these ghost markets.
Yeah, the ghost market is where actual alpha is generated today. We are talking about specific parcels or even entire forgotten corridors that standard financial models just automatically reject.
Because they look too messy.
Exactly. But they possess incredible underlying structural bones.
So to really understand the mechanics of this, I think we need to look at Pree's definitive expertise in protecting client interests within the Central Ohio market.
Right. Central Ohio is key here.
It is serving as this fascinating testing ground for this exact thesis. Give us a concrete look at what a ghost market actually looks like on the ground there.
Let's visualize a specific scenario Pree outlines from that region because, you know, we're not talking about a theoretical spreadsheet here.
Right. Imagine a 1970s legacy industrial corridor just off a major interstate in Central Ohio. You are looking at 100,000 square feet of peeling paint, cracked asphalt, and vacant warehouses.
Sounds terrible.
It does. It is currently zoned for heavy manufacturing. But over the last 20 years, residential subdivisions have slowly encroached on the entire area.
So it's an obsolete use case.
Yeah.
Heavy manufacturing just can't operate there anymore because of the residential proximity.
But the zoning hasn't caught up to the reality on the ground.
Exactly. It is mired in a complex mess of what probably goes zoning friction.
Defining friction.
Right. To do anything profitable with that space, say, transform it into high-density, mixed-use commercial, you have to undergo a highly complex, highly political municipal shift.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you are looking at environmental phase two assessments, city council hearings, neighborhood pushback, the whole nine yards.
Okay, stop right there, because I have to challenge the viability of this from the perspective of an institutional developer.
Go for it. A developer's lifeblood is internal rate of return, IRR. And IRR is highly sensitive to time.
Highly sensitive.
A developer is looking for liquidity, velocity, rapid deployment of capital. Why on earth would they take on a parcel that requires 12 to 18 months of municipal heavy lifting just to get the right to pull a permit?
Right. It sounds crazy.
Doesn't that kind of severe zoning headache completely destroy a project's momentum before a shovel even hits the dirt?
Well, if you are using a standard development playbook, yes, that timeline absolutely kills the deal. And that is exactly why 90% of the competition just walks away from the table after the first tour.
They see the zoning board and they run.
They run. But navigating this requires a fundamental institutional mindset shift. The municipal headache isn't a barrier to the strategy. The headache is the strategy.
The friction is the future.
Correct. Because that complex zoning friction scares off the herd, it acts as a massive economic moat.
I see.
Yeah, it completely deters the overlapping bids that cause the cap rate compression we were just talking about. When nobody else is bidding, the acquisition cost just plummets.
This protects the basis.
It protects the investor's absolute North Star, the cost basis. You are acquiring the physical asset, the land, and the structural bones at a price so low that it creates this impenetrable cushion against future market shocks.
Okay, I see the logic there. That municipal moat protects your cost basis. But buying a cheap, heavily zoned asset means absolutely nothing if the actual construction process just bleeds you dry.
Right. You still have to build it.
Exactly. We have to transition to the other side of the ledger now. We need to address the actual enemy of all real estate development, which is time and material costs.
Which is the immediate question literally any institutional player asks when looking at an old industrial corridor. They say, fine, the land is cheap. But retrofitting a 1970s warehouse is a total nightmare. Shouldn't we just scrape the lot, demolish the structures, and build fresh?
It's the standard instinct, right? Start fresh with a clean slate, predictable timelines, modern materials.
Yep.
But the data-driven reality for 2026 gives a resounding no to that question. Ground-up development is currently being suffocated.
It is being completely suffocated by two massive macroeconomic headwinds. First, soaring raw material costs. I mean, steel, concrete, glass, they are just stubbornly high.
They haven't come down.
No. And second, the compounded red tape and supply chain bottlenecks of new construction. If you decide to scrape and build new today, your lead time for crucial components like commercial electrical switchgear or HVAC rooftop units.
Oh, the switchgear delays are legendary right now.
Exactly. That alone can be 52 weeks, just waiting on a part. Your total lead time to get a certificate of occupancy is easily 18 to 24 months.
And in a volatile economic environment, 24 months is an eternity.
It's a lifetime.
By the time you finally cut the ribbon on that shiny new build, the market cycle you were originally targeting or the tenant demand you modeled for, it might have completely evaporated.
Which brings us to the financial fortress of adaptive reuse. This is where the friction of taking on an existing neglected structure pays off exponentially. We have to look at the brutal math here to see the true advantage.
Let's break down that mathematical fortress.
Right.
Because this is exactly how Pri saw what the spreadsheets missed.
Right.
The spreadsheet claims a shiny new build is predictable, but the ground reality shows it is dangerously slow and entirely exposed to inflation.
Okay, so let's look at the specific formula Pri uses. A standard ground-up commercial new build in 2026 is currently modeling out at roughly $300 per square foot.
Bare minimum.
Minimum. Now, compare that to acquiring that underutilized warehouse or a neglected hotel in a ghost market. Because of that zoning moat we discussed, you might be looking at acquiring the property for just $150 per square foot.
Okay, so you are in for $150.
Yeah.
But you still have to convert the thing.
Right. You then add a budgeted $100 per square foot for the structural conversion and repositioning.
Wait. Only $100 a square foot for conversion. I have to step in here. Because anyone who has opened the walls in a 1970s or 1980s commercial build knows you are walking into a minefield.
Oh, it's terrifying.
You are dealing with outdated electrical grids, you know, asbestos remediation, plumbing that doesn't meet modern code, massive structural surprises. How does the math actually account for those black swan conversion costs that always seem to blow up adaptive reuse budgets?
That is the exact right question to ask. Uh-huh. And it is why the upfront underwriting has to be surgical. The strategy accounts for this by overcapitalizing the contingency fund from day one.
Okay.
Because your acquisition cost is suppressed by the friction. At that $150 a foot, you have the margin to heavily pad your conversion budget. Even if you hit severe structural surprises and that $100 conversion cost swells by 20 or 30%.
Probably will.
Right, but even if it does, your total capitalized cost is still hovering around, say, $270 per square foot. You are still mathematically superior to the $300 ground-up build.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
The protected cost basis essentially buys you the margin of error on the construction side.
Exactly. But the real leverage, the absolute game changer for your IRR, is the timeline.
Speed to market.
Speed to market. By utilizing the existing structural bones, the concrete slab, the steel framing, the existing utility hookups, you shrink that 18 to 24 month timeline down to just 8 to 12 months.
That is massive. I mean, you are at market, generating revenue and stabilizing the asset a full year ahead of the ground-up developer who is still just waiting on electrical switchgear to clear the port.
Right.
Adaptive reuse is where the friction literally pays off in speed to market.
So we now understand the math. We understand the compressed timeline, and we understand the cost basis protection. But the final and arguably most difficult step is executing this on the ground to actually unlock that hidden value.
Right, because buying a cheap, ugly building and doing the math on a spreadsheet is one thing. Actually, executing the pivot requires a highly specific operational strategy.
You can't just wing it.
No.
Yeah.
You have to take these neglected structures and creatively re-engineer their physical and economic purpose. As the dispatch notes, institutional wealth is built by focusing on the messy stories.
Let's dive into the concrete examples of these messy stories, starting with the retail sector. We all know the narrative of the struggling half-empty retail strip or the dead big box store.
Right.
The market looks at that and just sees a liability, a dying asset.
But what does the specialist see?
They see the ultimate last-mile logistics hub. I mean, if you look at the physical characteristics of a dead big-box retail store, it is perfectly suited for modern supply chain mechanics.
Really? How so?
Oh, well, you have 22 to 24-foot clear ceiling heights, which is totally ideal for automated sorting robotics. You have existing loading docks in the back. You have massive reinforced concrete floor slabs designed for heavy point loads.
Oh, right. Because they used to hold massive inventory racks.
Exactly. And most importantly, you have acres of empty parking lot space, which is exactly what logistics companies need to park their fleets of electric delivery vans overnight.
And crucially, these dead retail centers are physically located right in the middle of dense suburban populations.
Yes.
They are already zoned commercial, and they are closer to the end consumer than any new industrial park you could build out on the edge of the city. You are taking a failing retail asset and plugging it directly into the highest demand sector of the 2026 economy.
Exactly. It's brilliant. And the same operational pivot applies to the hospitality sector. Let's look at taking a neglected hotel, a property that is just failing under its current flag, and engineering a complete brand pivot.
A brand pivot in hospitality isn't just changing the sign on the building, though. It is incredibly complex.
Oh, it is entirely complex. Often these hotels become distressed because the current franchise enforces a massive property improvement plan, a PIP.
Right. The dreaded PIP.
Yeah. And the current owner simply cannot afford to finance it. So the property falls into disrepair. RevPay revenue per available room just plummets, and the asset becomes officially distressed.
So how do you execute the pivot? How does Praia step in here?
You step in, acquire the distressed asset at that protected cost basis we talked about, and completely shift the business mix.
Change the demographic.
Right. Maybe the current flag relies entirely on transient corporate travel, which just hasn't recovered in that specific submarket.
Yeah.
You analyze the local data and realize, wait, there is a massive deficit in extended stay accommodations for traveling medical professionals at a nearby expanding hospital system.
I see.
So you renovate, you reposition the brand, change the operational model to cater to extended stay, and suddenly your occupancy rates stabilize and your net operating income just surges.
But executing those transformations, whether it is turning retail into robotics-driven logistics or repositioning a hotel's entire business mix, that requires an incredibly deep understanding of both high-level financial modeling and hyper-local operational realities.
You need both.
You have to know the supply chain mechanics, the rev pair trends, the local zoning boards, and the specific tenant demands.
Which is exactly why navigating these highly specialized transformations requires a dual-threat advisor.
Mm-hmm.
It completely reinforces Praia's credibility as both a commercial real estate investment advisor and a fellow realtor.
Right.
You need an advisor who understands the macroeconomic investment thesis, you know, the cap rates, the cost of capital, the IRR modeling, but who also possesses the tactical transactional fluency to actually execute the deal locally.
It takes Praia's boots on the ground approach to look at a dead retail strip and see the future of logistics.
Yeah.
The ROI isn't in the asset itself.
No, it isn't.
The ROI lives inside the friction of the pivot. It lives in the zoning hearings, the structural retrofits, and the operational repositioning.
Staring directly at the friction everyone else runs away from, that is the defining characteristic of high-level intelligence in this market.
So let's bring this briefing to a close with a highly focused executive summary.
Sounds good.
In 2026, the real money is not being made by following the herd into the trap of compressed cap rates and seemingly safe suburban assets. The math simply does not support the risk.
No, it doesn't. True yield is found by identifying those ghost markets. It is generated by leveraging the formidable economic moat of zoning complexities to protect your cost basis.
Right.
And it is realized by executing rapid, mathematically superior adaptive reuse that gets you to market a full year faster than ground-up development.
And executing that level of complexity requires specialized, field-proven expertise. Kriyanshu Adithakar stands as the go-to specialist, possessing the technical confidence required to navigate these complex hotel and commercial investments, specifically protecting client interests within the nuanced Central Ohio market.
The illusion of safety is truly the greatest liability on a balance sheet today.
Which leaves you with one final lingering boardroom-level question to consider regarding your own capital deployments. If true value is found in the narratives the market tried to forget, what dead asset sitting in your own portfolio right now isn't actually a liability, but rather a ghost market waiting for the right boots-on-the-ground pivot?
That is a critical diagnostic for any institutional owner to run this quarter.
Thank you for joining us for this specialized briefing. We will return when the market demands further analysis.